Our Old Testament reading today is from Exodus 13, various verses. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate me to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time you come to come, your sons ask you, 'What does this mean?' You shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle is from Colossians. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I ask that you read the parts of Simeon there, the bold print. "And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they, Mary and Joseph, brought baby Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord,' and to sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, 'A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.' Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. As we begin our message, please bow your heads and pray with me. Loving Father, we thank you for speaking to us through Moses, through Paul, through Luke. We thank you for their post-Christmas message. And so bless our hearing of your message, and especially our learning and our living your message. We pray through Jesus, baby Jesus. Amen. You know, a couple weeks ago or so, as I was looking at these three readings and deciding kind of what to do this morning, I was pleasantly surprised that all three of these readings seem to fit together. So often it seems to me that one of the readings on a Sunday morning is out in left field. Left field. This is left, Dennis. Out in left field. And, you know, especially sometimes the epistle reading, sometimes Old Testament reading just don't fit. Well, today, that's not the way it is. Today's gospel reading here tells us about Mary and Joseph taking their six-week-old baby Jesus, to the temple to be consecrated. And there they met those old-timers, Simeon and Anna. And then in Exodus 13, we are given a description of why Mary and Joseph brought their little baby to the temple for consecration. And then Paul in Colossians chapter 3 kind of gives us a personal so what as to what this means, what our response is to our own consecration. So this morning, I'm going to use all three passages as the basis for my sermon. So we're going to have a long sermon. So just sit back and relax, okay? But not too much, Bob, okay? Not too much. First of all, let's go to the temple. Let's go to the temple there in Jerusalem to see what was going on. Some 5 weeks before this story here from Luke chapter 2, Mary and Joseph had taken their baby Jesus at that time to the temple. That time for circumcision when he was 8 days old. And they did that because they were devout Jewish parents who followed the demands of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis 17 says, "He who is 8 days old among you should be circumcised." Why? Well, because God said in chapter 17, Genesis 17, the preceding verse, as a matter of fact, that it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. And what was that sign? Well, let's be pointed here. When Hebrew men, when Jewish men and boys go to the bathroom 4, 5, 6, 8 times a day, whatever it is, they are constantly reminded of that covenant between God and them. Think about that. There's a reminder there all the time. You see, Jewish circumcision in the Old Testament is a lot like baptism for us who live in the New Testament. Circumcision brought the child into God's family just as baptism does for you and me. So when Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised. And he was also given his name, the name Jesus at that time there in the temple. Now, when he was at least 41 days old, Mary and Joseph brought him again to the temple. Now, why 41 days? Well, here's the law of the Torah, Leviticus 12. A mother was told to wait 33 days after her son was circumcised before she could come for the rite of purification. So 8 days, then 31 days, 33 days equals 41. So he was about 6 weeks old this time when Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple. This time, to start with, it was for the rite of purification for Mary. The rite of purification. In other words, to be cleansed from her bleeding in childbirth. And that was to be done normally with the sacrifice of a lamb. But we read in Luke 2 that they brought what? Do you remember? 2 turtle doves or pigeons. Now, why? Why didn't they bring a lamb? Well, the law allowed that if a couple was so poor that they could not afford to buy a lamb, they could bring a couple of doves or pigeons. So what does that tell us about Mary and Joseph? Very poor. A very poor young couple. Now, in addition to Mary's purification right there, they also went to the temple, according to Luke 2, to present him, their baby Jesus, to the Lord, to be consecrated to the Lord. Now, what's that mean, to be consecrated to the Lord? Well, the word consecrate means to set aside for a special purpose. In this case, Jesus was set aside by God, for a very special purpose. And we all know what that purpose was, right? Very close to this temple on Golgotha, some 30-plus years later, Jesus was crucified on the cross for us. That's what his consecration meant for us. Now, again, let's go back to Exodus 13 now, to our reading. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn." Now, here's why God said that. As we go back just 2 chapters previous there in Exodus chapter 11, we read about the last plague that God brought to Pharaoh there in Egypt. You remember those plagues, right? The water changing into blood and the locusts and the flies and the gnats and the boils and the hail and the darkness, all of those. And all of them were brought on by God to do what? To convince Pharaoh that he should let his people go from slavery. Well, then, and that didn't do any good. So then there was a last plague. Remember what that was? Yeah, it was the, what they, sometimes they call it the plague of the firstborn. I read, this is what the Lord says. Exodus 11, about midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. But, and the story goes on, you know, you remember the rest of that story. It includes the Passover. Passover, the Hebrew families were to sacrifice a lamb, that perfect, unblemished lamb, remember? And to paint the door frames of their houses with the blood of that lamb. And so what happened with the angel of death then? He passed over that house. And so those Hebrew boy babies then were saved, whereas all the other Egyptian boy babies were not. And so that's why God said here at the start of Exodus 13, consecrate or set aside to me every firstborn male. God was setting them aside so that they would be his very own specially chosen and saved sons, as God saved all the rest of those families, you recall, during that Exodus. Well, centuries later now, there in the temple, Mary and Joseph were doing for their firstborn son, their oldest son, what God had told them to do. Jesus was God's chosen son set aside for that very special purpose. Now, let's bring this all to today. Are you still awake? Don't relax too much, all right? Bring it to today. Okay, Bob? Oh, you're fine. What's this mean for you and me today, huh? How many of you have been baptized? Okay, most of you have been baptized. How many of you have been No, I won't ask that question. I won't ask that question. We don't have to be concerned with that anymore. And, you know, you could for whatever reason, except it's not, it would not be, have to be a religious reason. Because, you see, Jesus has fulfilled all of those kinds of ceremonial laws. But I will ask you, how many of you are Christian? Oh, less than the were baptized. Ooh, that's not a good thing. I got to change my cord. No, I'm teasing. So, we're Christian. How is it that we're Christian? Well, it's because God has chosen you through baptism to be His own, to be a believer, to be a follower, to be set aside for some special purpose. So you and I are just like those boy babies back in Egypt who were saved, who were passed over by the angel of death. So God has protected us, and He is protecting us today. He's protecting us from whatever Satan throws at us. He gets us through all of the negatives that we face in life. And think about that. We are so blessed to be in His family. But you know, His choosing us to be in His family also brings with it responsibilities and challenges. You know, as we belong to a family, as we belong to this congregation, as you, some of you aren't retired, you belong to a place at work, for example. Maybe you belong to an organization, some club, whatever. That brings with it responsibilities, no doubt, and challenges. We all know what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, right? That we have been saved by grace through faith, not of works. It's a gift of God, not by ourselves, not of our own doing. But you know what we seem to forget sometimes? We forget the next verse, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, kind of that creation, consecration idea. We are God's workmanship, we're being set aside there again, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us today. Now, that's, to me, fits with our Colossians passage there that Paul wrote. He reminds us that, and I read this, as God's chosen people, there again is that consecration idea. We have been consecrated. We don't often use that word, but we have been consecrated, set aside as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Then he says what? Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, he says, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on what? Love. Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Is that a challenge or what? I mean, think about it. Be kind and gentle and patient all the time. Forgive others when we like to hold grudges. And love others all the time? I don't have a very good, I don't do a very good job with these. I don't know about you. They're challenges. And if you're honest, living the Christian life is tough. Being set aside by God for these special things is a challenge for all of us. A real challenge. Now, fortunately for us, and here's the good news, all of these virtues that Paul mentions here, all of these qualities that we're called to have and to do and to live, are not our own. You see, they are Christ's virtues, Jesus' virtues. Why? Because he has fulfilled all of those. And he gives them to us. He imputes them to us, Pastor Chris often mentions. His righteousness is put onto and into us so that God looks at us as doing all of this, as living the Christian life perfectly, even though we fail miserably. But that's so neat that I love verse 15 of this Colossians passage. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Even though we botch it all the time, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. You were called to peace. Called to peace. Again, that's a part of being a consecrated child of God. Now, one last thing. Let's go back to the temple. Let's all go back to the temple. And I want you to put on Simeon's sandals. Okay? I want you to lace them up. And we're going to go into the temple there. We're going to meet a cute little baby with a capital B. Okay? So you're there in the temple now, and it's huge, and you're looking around, and you see several young couples who are bringing their boy babies to either be circumcised or consecrated, right? But you're drawn to this one special young couple and that one very special baby. Why? How come you're drawn to those? Well, here's why. Simeon, you remember, was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Remember now, Simeon was an old man, ready to die. But again, the Holy Spirit, God through the Holy Spirit, had promised him that he would not die until he had seen what? The Messiah, the Christ, his Savior, his Savior. So, he was there in the temple waiting to see the Messiah. And now, this morning, you are in the temple waiting for your consolation. Another kind of a big word. What's that word mean? What's it mean to console? The root word. Console means to bring comfort, right? And to bring peace. And isn't that why Jesus came? To bring us comfort and peace? So here he is in the temple. And because the Holy Spirit is upon you, and he is, you know, you recognize, you know, that this baby is here to bring you consolation and peace. So then, like Simeon, you take this baby in your arms. You take this baby in your arms. And you praise God, and you say, like Simeon said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation in this baby Jesus. My eyes have seen. So now, finally, you have peace. Peace. You may not be as old as Simeon. You may not be as old as some of the rest of us. But you've waited. Some of you, maybe a long time. And you are now holding this precious baby who brings you salvation, hope, comfort, and peace. So hold him gently. Hold him gently to your heart. Amen. Amen. Amen.